You can see on the screen up here that we've got a pretty intense topic for this morning. So look at somebody next to you. I want you to say this with conviction. By the way, my wife hates to look at someone next to you, but she's not here, so I can do this. Always here in my ears. Been married 43 plus years, so I can hear her in my ears. Sorry, honey, I'm here. So look at the person next to you, and with some conviction, if there's no one next to you, you can look at me. With some conviction, say, this is going to be intense. This is like the first service. With some conviction. Let's try that again. All right? I didn't say this is going to be like blah, or this is going to be dull, or this is going to put... No. Look at the person next to you with, like, you actually believe it and say, this is going to be intense. Okay. The good news is this, that everything that you need for victory and triumph, we just sang about. We just sang about. The one who died for our sins and rose from the dead, everything we need is found in him. And this season of the year, we get into November, December, that's when the Lord graciously saved me in 1971 when I was a heroin shooting, LSD using, long-haired, rebellious, hippie rock drummer, Jewish on top of it. And where would God save somebody like that? Now, if you're a God, like, think, where would you save someone like that? Naturally, an Italian Pentecostal church. That's where God saved me. So it's now going on 48 years in the Lord. So he's faithful. So over the course of life, you go through challenges and you get attacked and there are difficulties and there are ups and downs. But I want to say that 48 years later, all the more can I say everything you need is found in him. Everything. So we're going to get into some pretty intense stuff this morning, but not in a hopeless way, in a sober way, and with a stance of victory. Amen? When the service is over, you can get a copy of Jezebel's War with America. I got supernaturally stirred to write. Yes, I write all the time, but I got gripped in an unusual way to write this. I wrote the core, 70% of the core of this book, I wrote in 6 days. I was just consumed day and night, gripped and writing. And then we never had this happen with any book, but the first week, the first printing sold out. There was just this tremendous demand for it. And we continually hear from people that get it, that they're reading it fully, cover to cover, the day they get it. They're getting gripped the same way. Jezebel, which I'll explain in a moment, is being exposed. And victory is ours in Jesus. So you can get a copy of the book. It's my joy to sign it for you if you want to get extra copies for holiday gifts. We'll be doing that after the service. And then we'll be back here tonight, 6 p.m. You say, I'm busy, I'm tired. I'm busier, all right? And yet I'll be here, okay? I'm coming here for you, all right? So when Steve and I were talking, and with the 25th anniversary, I said, count me in. We'll make a way. We will absolutely be here. And schedule was tight. So this was the Sunday that worked. And we said, if we're going to come, let's do something extra. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about Christians in the culture wars, where we stand, just some key things to understand. But then we want to devote most of the time to Q&A. Hey, honey, do you have something you want to share? You want the mic? No? Are you looking for mommy or something? Okay. It's family. It's community here, right? Family church. No. So we'll have a time of Q&A. So the real tough questions, pressing issues, please come with your questions after. So I won't be able to answer as we're signing books, but we'll do that tonight, all right? And then over at our table, you'll see this card, Holy Fire in the Holy Land. It's our trip to Israel. It's an extraordinary time, really amazingly life-changing. For years, people asked me to do these. I said, I don't want to do it. It's kind of hokey to do these tours. I just want to go to Israel and minister. But when we see the impact on people that go, we're kind of blown away. It's just amazing to connect with the land of the Bible. And then we have special sharing every night and do our radio shows together. So it's just a really special time. So if you're interested in going, it's May, and the info is at the table or at our website, AskDrBrown.org. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're humbled by your great love for us. And with total confidence and total dependence, we look to you. May your Holy Spirit speak through me to your people. May your word come in power. May you set captives free. May you open hearts and minds. May a spirit of victory rise in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read two passages of scripture to you. First, from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. When I speak of Jezebel or the spirit of Jezebel, I'm not talking about a human being. I'm not talking about a living person today, nor am I talking about the ghost of Jezebel. Ooh, it's Halloween, and Jezebel's ghost from 3,000 years ago has risen. No. I'm not talking about the ghost of a deceased person. I'm talking about this. The same demonic forces that worked through this wicked queen Jezebel in the Bible are working again today. You connect the dots, you see the symptoms, you recognize it is Jezebel again. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And I'm not one of these people that's looking for a demon under every rock, okay? I'm not one of these people that's constantly thinking about the devil and rebuking the devil. My focus is on King Jesus. My focus is on the Lord. My communion is with our Heavenly Father. That's where I live. That's where my thoughts are. At the same time, Paul writes that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. So we understand what the devil is doing. We are not unaware. We recognize what Peter said, that Satan goes about as a roaring lion looking for people to devour. But we understand the victory we have in Jesus. So Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Notice that our strength is in him. When I stand up to preach, I'm not standing in the strength, well, I've been preaching since I was 18 in 1973, or I have X number of scriptures memorized, or I brought this message before, or this theme is in my heart, or I've traveled around the world, or I have a degree. That's all meaningless in terms of putting confidence in any of that. Our confidence is in God. And that means that the more you recognize your own weakness and your own inability, the more you find strength in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're called to do impossible work, but we have been equipped by God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So our battle is ultimately not with people, not with political parties, not with individuals, not with social activists. Our battle is with demons. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. They are coordinated, they are organized, there is a hierarchy under Satan, and they are coming in a coordinated way to destroy you, to destroy me, unless we take our stand in Jesus. Now, go back to the Old Testament and 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21, it's telling us about King Ahab. He was a king over Israel, northern Israel. He was a corrupt and vile man. But notice what's written about him. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He was a wicked man, but she incited him to more wickedness. He was an evil man, but she incited him to more evil. And as we look at Jezebel in the Old Testament, she died about 3,000 years ago. Here's what we see. She was a pagan princess who married the king of Israel. So that violated God's law. You did not intermarry with the heathen nations. She was a fanatical idol worshiper. Some scholars speculate that with her father as king, Phoenicia, that he would have been high priest over the temple. She would have been high priestess over the temple of Baal. We don't know if that's true or not. We do know she was a fanatical idol worshiper of Baal and Asherah. And we also know in the ancient world where there was idol worship, there was sacrificing of babies to idols. She killed the prophets. She was a murderer. She intimidated by fear. The prophets that she didn't kill were hiding in caves. What happened to their authority? What happened to their boldness? Even the mighty prophet Elijah, after he called down fire from heaven in 1 Kings 18, ran intimidated by Jezebel. He ended up getting the last word over her, but the fact is, he ran intimidated by fear at one point. She emasculated her own husband. She incited her husband to do evil. And in 2 Kings 9, she's associated with sexual immorality and idolatry and witchcraft and sorcery. By name, it mentions her sexual immorality and her witchcraft and sorcery. Jesus, actually, in the New Testament, refers to a woman called Jezebel. When he speaks to the church of Thyatira, he references her. And this is what Jesus says. Was it her actual name, or was it what he called her because of what she did? But she's a false prophetess. She calls herself a prophetess, and she is not. So there's that false religion, false spirituality. She seduces God's people into sexual immorality, and she teaches God's people to eat food sacrificed to idols. So there you have, just like the Jezebel of the Old Testament, the Jezebel referenced in the New Testament, especially associated with sexual immorality and idolatry, which are constantly joined at the hip in Scripture, and with false religion, false spirituality. And as a false prophetess, she would be at war with the true prophets. It was last year in the summer, my friend Pastor John Kilpatrick, at the end of a Sunday service at his church in Daphne, Alabama, felt led to call for prayer for the president and said, witchcraft is attacking the White House. Jezebel's trying to take the president down. And whoever is the president, the devil wants to destroy that person or use that person for evil. We understand that. He called for prayer, and to his shock, the prayer went viral. The video of the prayer went viral. I shot him a note just to encourage him, and I posted articles saying, hey, what do you think about this? To try to get people to watch it and think and wonder about it and pray about it. I said, I'm standing with you, man. I read in the Jerusalem Post, they did an article covering the Jezebel prayer, and it was a favorable article. I was shocked. Anyway, he invited me down to speak for him, and as I was praying about what to speak on, God brought the Jezebel theme to me, and suddenly the dots started to connect. Let's understand that every generation in America has had issues, that every human being on the planet has to deal with sin, has to deal with the world, has to deal with Satan. But if you look at the issues that we are dealing with now and compare them to the issues we dealt with 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 200 years ago, it's a whole different ballgame. And when you connect the dots, you see what they all have in common, the key things that we're dealing with. Jezebel. First, the spirit of idolatry. Turning away from the one true God for other gods, either changing the image of who the real God is or pursuing earthly things. Look at what A.W. Tozer said. Let us beware lest we in our pride accept the erroneous notion that idolatry consists only in kneeling before visible objects of adoration and that civilized peoples are therefore free from it. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. It begins in the mind and may be present where no overt work act of worship has taken place. As a nation, we have become more and more idolatrous, bringing down the image of the true God to a God who is like us, and then turning away from the worship of the true God and being pulled away by a million distractions and other things that get our energy and our attention. And Paul said this, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the spirit of idolatry, that's the first thing that we associate with Jezebel, certainly on the rise in our culture. What about sexual immorality? How about the seduction of porn? Look, every generation's had to deal with sexual immorality. It's in the Ten Commandments, don't commit adultery. Jesus warns about the consequences of it. Paul puts it at the top of his list when he deals with sins. But we've never had, no generation in world history has ever had to deal with what we're dealing with today because of porn online. Look at some of these facts. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined each month. It's unreal. 35% of all internet downloads are porn related. People who admit to having extramarital affairs were over 300% more likely to admit consuming porn than those who've never had an affair. At least 30% of all data transferred across the internet is porn related. I mean, this is staggering. There are even articles today on subjects like the detrimental effects of pornography on small children. Little kids are getting exposed to porn, cell phones, internet. Kanye West recently said that when he was 5 years old, his dad left an issue of Playboy out. And he went through it and he said that has influenced every decision he's made since then. Life-destroying. Life-defiling. 2013 article in Huffington Post, a liberal publication. A staggering statistic in a recent university report stated that peer-to-peer users, those who share images, were more likely to have images of very young children and violent images. Of peer-to-peer users arrested in 2009, 33% had photos of children aged 3 or younger, and 42% had images of children that showed sexual violence. This is beyond mind-boggling. The staggering effect of porn. And friends, it's happening in our churches. It's happening among church leaders. We can't stick our heads in the sand and deny. We have to face the fact that there is a sexual seduction of America. And it's defiling and it's destroying. There are young men in their 20s that have to use Viagra to perform because they can't function in a normal relationship. There are women now getting addicted to porn. Divorce rates are getting higher because of porn. Idolatry, sexual immorality, the baby-killing spirit. Please hear me. There are cases with abortion that are very, very difficult where you've got maybe a 13-year-old girl was raped by an uncle and finds out she's pregnant and we want to encourage her to choose life and she's struggling with it. I'm not going to renounce that person as a baby killer. You want to help that person choose life. I'm not talking about these difficult things where we have to help someone to see the beauty and value of this life even though it was conceived in rape. I'm talking about the militant, shout your abortion spirit. I'm talking about a spirit that is literally a baby-killing spirit. Look, in the ancient world, Greek source dating back to 146 BC describes the practice in Carthage, which today is the city of Tunis in Tunisia. There stands in their midst a bronze statue of Cronos, its hands extended over a bronze brazier, the flames of which engulf the child. When the flames fall upon the body, the limbs contract, and the open mouth seems almost to be laughing until the contracted body slips quietly into the brazier. Thus it is that the grin is known as sardonic laughter, since they die laughing. You think that's beyond barbaric? Well, listen to this testimony from attorney Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. When he was on my radio show talking about a court case they're in the midst of with Planned Parenthood, he referred to, quote, amazing situations where Planned Parenthood clinics were taking babies and intentionally aborting them so that they could harvest intact organs. In other words, they get orders for certain things and then they abort babies accordingly. Some of which were born alive while the hearts were still beating. Hearts were being removed while they were still alive. He continued, and I told you this is intense. Brains were being removed while the hearts were still beating. And we have evidence where they sliced the baby's face in two with a scalpel and then extracted the brain while the baby was still alive. This is reality, friends. This is the spirit of Jezebel at work in America today to destroy the most precious, innocent lives. Here's a picture during the Kavanaugh hearings, women pounding on the doors of the Supreme Court for their, quote, right to abort. And how about the spirit of radical feminism? Not a healthy feminism that loves and esteems women and honors them. Not a healthy feminism that says equal pay for a woman doing equal work. But a radical feminism that focuses on issues like this. A critique of motherhood, marriage, the nuclear family, and sexuality. Questioning how much of our culture is based on patriarchal assumptions. And a critique of other institutions, including government and religion, as centered historically in patriarchal power. Everything in the order of the family and church must be overthrown. And here are quotes. I have all this in the Jezebel book, of course, from some of the radical feminists of old. Linda Gordon, the nuclear family must be destroyed. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. Andrea Dworkin, marriage as an institution developed from rape as a practice. And Sheila Cronin, since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. There is a concerted, organized, demonic attack on marriage and family. And yes, God has callings on single people. Some of you might be widowed and you're single now. Others, young people and single by choice or single by circumstance. And God has purpose for each life. Each one plays an important role in the body. But we know at the nucleus of well-being for the world is the family structure, is the role of moms and dads bringing children into the world and raising them in a God-fearing way, in a God-loving way. And that's where Satan has launched his focused attack. All that's happening in society around us is not coincidental, nor is it unrelated. And how about with this, a side effect of all of this is the emasculating of men. Back in 2005, John Tierney published an op-ed in the New York Times titled, "The Doofus Dad," beginning with this anecdote. And this is 2005, I believe it's gotten worse since. One evening after watching Homer Simpson wreck the family car at a monster truck rally and plunge on a skateboard into Springfield Gorge, my six-year-old son asked me, why are dads on TV so dumb? So look, born in 1955 and growing up in the 60s, I remember shows like Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet, Andy Griffith, the strong father, the stable father, the wise father, the loving father. We're going from that to the Homer Simpsons of the world, or Everybody Loves Raymond, or whatever the latest shows are. The father's a nincompoop, and he's the last one to get it, and everyone scorns him. The whole family's kind of embarrassed by him. You don't think that's from the enemy? And if you try to be a strong leader, I don't mean some machismo guy, you don't like it, get out of my house. I don't mean stuff like that. I mean, you slap people around. No, God forbid, that's everything but being masculine in God's sight. That's being a wimp, insecure wimp. In case that was for anybody here, it's my gentle pastoral approach. But in all seriousness, when you just try to be a godly leader, humble servant leader, as a husband, as a father, that's toxic masculinity. Must be rejected. And then another thing that's Jezebelic is the war on gender, turning men into women and women into men. Of course, I've written on this extensively, but here's a headline from this past week. Biologically male NCAA runner named Conference Female Athlete of the Week. You have biological males now who identify as women who are smashing women's records and winning women's medals. It's going to happen in the Olympics. Completely unfair to women. Completely unfair to women that work hard and sacrifice. And, you know, there's a big difference between gold and silver or first and second place or not meddling at all. But that's what's happening now. Completely unfair. I just saw a post that one of my colleagues posted on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, and it's motorcyclist who identifies as bicyclist is winning all the races. There he is on his motorcycle. Let's be fair to the ladies. Look, there are radical feminists now coming in conflict with transgender activists because they say, you're fighting against everything in terms of female identity. And then what's the ultimate thing? When Bruce Jenner is named Woman of the Year, that men can even be better women than women. And in case you didn't see this manufacturer of tampons and sanitary napkins, whatever, they got complaints from trans men, so women who identify as men, because men can menstruate, so they removed the Venus imagery, the female imagery from their packaging. Look, I care about people who struggle, and my heart goes out to someone that really feels trapped in the wrong body. I mean, God has a solution for them. It's from the inside out, by the way. It's from the inside out. But you are not gonna take the struggles of an individual and now impose them on the rest of society. That is cultural and social madness. Look, Chelsea Clinton recently said that you can have male plumbing and a beard and be a female. And even Hillary had an issue with that. It was a little taken aback, but it was a little different than what we grew up with our generation. That's because there are not biological females with male plumbing and beards. That's why Hillary Clinton didn't grow up with that. It is a figment of the imagination. We need to help people here. All right, enough said on that. How about this? You want to talk about an assault on gender? This is actual pictures, it's not Photoshopped. Here is a man, drag queen, reading to children, toddlers, in libraries. This is spreading all over America. In fact, it is endorsed by the American Library Association. It's a great thing. Drag queen reading hour. And one of the drag queens in Louisiana, when Christians stood up against it, he got up, a gay guy, and said, yeah, we want to groom your children. We want them to think about these things differently. I got a notice of something happening right near us in North Carolina. By the time I found out about it, it already happened, and the place was packed. And then sorcery and witchcraft. Again, I'm not one looking for demons and devils. This is New York Times from like 3 days ago. When did everybody become a witch? Witch parties, witch protests, and a bevy of new books. We have reached peak witch. I was shocked by the stuff I was putting in Jezebel's War with America. A year ago, a slew of headlines came out in October and November that among millennials, there are more witches than Presbyterians. I was looking at Amazon, best-selling books, and then I was looking at most read books. They have this category. I don't know how they determine it, but which books are the most read currently in a given week? And I checked it. I went back and forth over a period of a couple of months, and either 6 or 7 out of the top 10 most read books in America, I'm talking about in recent months, were Harry Potter books. And even though some of it may be more benign, those books are going to create an interest in sorcery and magic, not in the Bible and the gospel. And you want to see a picture where this all comes together. There was a feminist group in 1968, famous then, and its name was the Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell. Does that spell things out? Oh, notice the acronym, WITCH. And here's, in this New York Times article I just referenced, a member of WITCH performs a Halloween hex on Wall Street on October 31st, 1968. This past Friday night at 11:59, a coalition of witches were gathering together to put a binding spell on President Trump. And they have been gathering regularly to, quote, hex the patriarchy. This is happening all around us. And then silencing the prophetic voices. So many in the church won't speak up. And we've talked about this. And I thank God. Again, I'm not saying this just because I'm here. Trust me, talk to my assistant, Dylan. Ask if I just go around and say these kind of things about leaders. But you've got to understand, your pastor is one of the few megachurch pastors that's willing to stand and address issues the way he does. And you confirm what I try to tell people is the congregations want their leaders to address these things because it's the world you live in. Your kids are getting bombarded in school on social media and entertainment. So you're dealing with issues like this in work and family. We can't stick our heads in the sand. And then the other thing is, if we're going to address it, we can't make this into a political battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the solution is Jesus. The solution is not a social answer, although we get involved socially. The solution is Jesus. And as he changes us, we change the world around us. Look at this quote. We must decide and decide quickly who is chief, whom we will serve. Millions of people in America live in a moral fog. Modified immorality on the basis of cleverness guides millions of people. Modified dishonesty within the letter of the law is the practice of millions more. Surely the time has come because the hour is late when we must decide and the choice before us is plain. Yahweh or Baal, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. That was Reverend Peter Marshall, who was chaplain of the Senate, 1947. I'd say the wake-up call is a bit louder today. I'd say the hour is a bit darker today. And look at what Marshall said. I suggest to you that America needs prophets today who will set before the nation the essential choices. We need a prophet who will have the ear of America and say to her now, how long will you halt and stand between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him, but if Baal be God, follow him and go to hell. In other words, make your choice. I read that, everything burns in me. Oh God, amplify our voice so we can speak prophetically to the nation, not with hatred, but with all-consuming love that warns with tears. Connect the dots, friends. It is all from the same demonic power. And what's interesting is you have a man in the Bible, a king named Jehu, who comes into final conflict with Jezebel and brings her down. And Jehu is described as driving recklessly or like a maniac. And he's kind of like a bull in a china shop. He's like an alpha male. He gets excited about God's causes and good causes and fights for them, but there's a lot of collateral damage. And people have likened, both Jewish and Christian authors, have likened President Trump to a Jehu-type leader. You know, obviously politically incorrect, but kind of this alpha male bull in a china shop. So whether you voted for him or not, it's the same thing. There's a lot of good that's done. There's a lot of collateral damage. But it's no surprise that with the Trump presidency, the radical feminist witchcraft thing has started to explode. I make no excuses for failures or things that I wish were done differently. What I'm saying is there's a spiritual battle swirling, and it's all coming to the surface. And over the years, friends, I've had some very intense encounters with Jezebel. I don't mean a person. I'm talking about this demonic, is it a principality? Is it a coalition of demons? The same demonic forces that operated through Queen Jezebel operating today in a concerted way. And the first real intense encounter I had came when I first got a national message out on repentance and revival. So in that sense, an Elijah type thing, not that I'm Elijah or you're Elijah, but that spirit of calling for repentance and revival and restoration. No sooner did I bring that message, all hell broke loose against Nancy and me, my wife Nancy and me. It was the worst season. It lasted probably about 4+ months, but the worst season we'd ever passed. So oppressive. I felt completely emasculated. I mean, spiritually more than anything, felt no spiritual authority, fear, and I didn't want to go speak. And I'm here, I'm traveling constantly, and I don't want to speak. I don't want to get behind the pulpit. And I would literally have to pray for several hours just to feel normal. Forget getting ready for the message. I was just so oppressed and under it. And lies bombarding me and bombarding Nancy, and health attacks on her. And finally, after prayer and fasting, the thing broke. I thought, that was miserable. Then, a few years later, we're in India. I've been there 26 times in 26 years. This is a few years into our going there, and the brother we work with, real man of God, planted at this point about 8,000 churches in unreached tribal regions, been stoned for his faith, has had his men martyred for the gospel. We're praying, and I'm going to be there for a month. And he says, brother, we're supposed to go to the city of Vijayawada in Andhra Pradesh, the state of Andhra. He said, that's the headquarters of the goddess Durga, Kanaka Durga. And she is the most worshipped deity in our state of Andhra, 60 million people. She is the principality. And he said, we need to go there. And as we prayed, he got a vision of the mountain on which her temple stood, the mountain shaking. And I felt God said to me, have a 1 Kings 18 Elijah confrontation and say, who's the real God, Yahweh or Kanaka Durga? So as we're getting closer to the days there, because it's a month-long trip in India, crazy schedule, driving through the night, meetings all day and night, I start getting hit with all the Jezebel symptoms. I'm talking about the fear attacks. I'm talking about sense of no authority. I'm talking about this intimidation, this emasculating feeling. I thought, this must tie in with where we're going. So I said to my friend Yesupadam, I said, what's the statue of Kanaka Durga look like? He said, well, she's this giant warrior goddess. and she's holding the head of the giant that she killed. I thought, that sounds like Jezebel. He said, and brother, something very odd. He said, once a year, the male worshipers of Kanakadurga dress up like women and wear makeup. Talk about emasculating. You're talking about war on gender. Here, look at this. Look at this image. You probably don't see this every Sunday morning in churches in America. Thank God. This is one of the online images, one of the statues of Durga. So here's this beautiful woman, all these arms. She's riding a lion. And there, that's the king of demons, that handsome guy there. Notice the spear piercing his side, blood rushing out. So she conquers the powerful man. Well, we had an incredible confrontation. I invited all the priests of Durga the first night, all the worshipers of Kanakadurga, please be here tomorrow night and we will see who is the real God. Can't get into all the details. God moved powerfully. It was an intense, glorious meeting. And we proclaimed Durga, Kanakadurga is not Lord. Jesus alone is Lord. It was intense. God moved. Not long after that, there was actually a minor earthquake on that mountain and damage to the temple, just this little outward sign. Actually happened. But I happened to mention this while preaching on the Jezebel theme a few months back in Fort Myers, Florida, and an Indian woman came up to me afterwards. She said, oh, yes, brother. She said, it's very true. I experienced the same attack when ministering in India, the same thing. She said, but you need to do more research on Kanakadurga. She is now the god of the transgenders and homosexuals of India. So I got online. Here it is. India gets its first transgender Hindu idol at this year's Durga Worship Festival. And there the new image is half male and half female. You talk about confirmation. And then look at this. This Jezebelic attack. I'm going to close and give you a clear sense of victory. Friend of ours, godly woman, married to a godly man. Dear Dr. Brown, when we were in D.C. last year, we accidentally got caught up in a demonstration against Justice Kavanaugh. The next morning when I thought about what we encountered the previous day, I realized how dark the atmosphere had been in the midst of the protesters. After we got home, I felt as though we had picked up something while in D.C. and asked for prayer at our home group. It was at this time that my husband began to slip into a state of deep depression. This is for some of you watching online. This is for some of you here. To give a few details, he didn't want to live. Jezebelic. He felt that he was a total failure in every area. It is so much Jezebelic spirit, for male or female. He became intensely fearful of everything and acted irrationally at times, and he felt he had failed God and that God was angry with him. He has received ministry by several people over this past year and has received some relief. This past week while we were driving home from D.C., we listened to the YouTube interview about your book on Sid Roth's show. I knew about this Jezebel spirit, but had never linked it to Elijah's reaction to Jezebel. As you explained your experiences, we heard almost exactly the same things that he's been suffering through. Now we understand what or who we are fighting. Some of you are shell of who you used to be. You used to operate with authority and faith and strength, and you've been beaten down. Men, you feel emasculated. Women, you feel like you've been abused. That strength, that power is not there. Some through addiction to porn live with shame, and you've lost sight of the real meaning of life and relationship. Everything is filtered through sexual lust. This is a demonic spirit, a concerted demonic attack to destroy you. You need to see behind that seductive picture these fangs of hatred. I'm telling you, the best thing we can do is expose what Jezebel is doing and then stand together and war in the spirit to take this stronghold down. If you want to hear a surprising voice on this as I bring this to a close and bring you a word of encouragement. So we hear reports of the conversion of Kanye West, and as I've listened to him speak, it seems real. I mean, there's now conflict in the marriage because he doesn't like some of his wife's dresses. She's like, well, I dressed like this because you wanted the sexy image. Now he doesn't like it. The 6-year-old daughter, you know, would wear heavy eye makeup and stuff. He says, you can't have any makeup till you're a teenager. Seems real. Well, he releases his Jesus is King album a few days ago, and there's a Chick-fil-A song. But look at this. Obviously, it sounds better when he sings it or raps it. Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. hold the selfies, put the gram away, get your family all, hold hands and pray. You got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for vipers, don't let them indoctrinate. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A, you're my number one with the lemonade. And then look at this. Try me and you will see that I ain't playing. Now back up off my family, move your hands. I got my weapons in the spirit's land. I, Jezebel, don't even stand a chance. Jezebel, don't even stand a chance. Where in the world did that come from? It's about Chick-fil-A. Ah, that's the end. That's where it comes from. It is a battle against the faith and Christian values. And look, here's a key. I'm going to close, unite us in prayer. 2 Kings 9, Jehu comes into conflict with Jezebel. He goes to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she put on eye makeup. So she paints her face, even though she's older, still a seductress. Arranged her hair, looked out of a window. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked, "Have you come in peace, you Zimri, you murderer of your master?" There's a lot of mockery in what she says, trying to taunt him. He looked up at the window and called out, "Who's on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. These are castrated men. These are literally, physically emasculated men. "Throw her down," Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. And we're not talking about a person here. We're talking about a demonic power. But notice who casts her down. It's the castrated males. It's the male eunuchs. It's the men who've been stripped of their authority and their masculinity. And it is crucial for the good of our culture for fathers to rise, for husbands to rise, for godly, pure singles to arise. And you know, the one thing that has been so evident in the statistics with mass shooters, they're almost all men and almost all unmarried and almost all from fatherless homes. They're responsible for their actions, but there is a societal breakdown. The men must rise. If you've been shackled by porn, if you've been shackled by fear, if you've been shackled by, you could have been beaten down by a bad marriage or by the society's image of men or just by your own spiritual failures, time for the eunuchs to rise and cast Jezebel down. And for the women who've been beaten down, maybe you have a calling on your life, but the moment you stepped into it, people called you a Jezebel. Insecure men couldn't see the hand of God in your life without feeling threatened, and you've been beaten down. Maybe you used to just be so fervent in prayer and go for it, and you know there's victory, and you hit some walls and disappointment and lost a loved one, and what happened? You're a shell of yourself. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to rise. It's time for the church to rise. Stand to your feet with me. Stand to your feet. If there's a deep struggle going on, please don't keep it to yourself. Come to the pastor leaders here or your life group leaders and say, "This is going on." People are here to help you and serve you. Don't suffer that thing alone. If you feel you need help, be honest. Come and get help. Right now, we're going to pray. We're going to pray one prayer for everyone here. But with the authority that Jesus has given to me as his son, as his child, I want to pray for you. And I remind you that the risen Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me." And that means authority over Satan. That means authority over this Jezebelic spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, with holy reverence for you, we declare that Jezebel must come down. Yes, Lord. We declare that she has been defeated by the cross, that every demonic power working together in her name has been defeated at the cross and with the resurrection of the Son of God. And we declare freedom and victory for the captives. We push back the Jezebelic attack here for individuals, for families, and in the state of Tennessee. We do it together in the name of Jesus. Let out a shout to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.